Welcome to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa, and we're going to start today, my dear listener, by talking about the title of our own show, which is Latino USA. So the word Latino is masculine because in Spanish, words have a gender. A little bit of Spanish 101. So in Spanish, words that end with O are usually masculine, and words that end with an A are usually feminine. Now, if you only grew up speaking English, you might not be familiar with this concept because English actually is a gender-neutral language. But you might have come across the idea of gender in language if, like, for example, in high school, you were studying French or Spanish.
Yeah, it was one of the first things I learned in Spanish class, and it was really confusing. Like, why is a table feminine?
That's our producer, Sarah Barrett.
Hi, Maria. So did you ever question why a table was feminine when you were growing up speaking Spanish?
Which is so funny, because I was like, la mesa? No, I never thought about a particular word, like, why is la mesa female? But I knew it existed. This is different than English.
And most people, I would say, probably don't really question it if they're a native Spanish speaker. But recently, starting in about the 90s, a new thing started to happen online.
Latinette.
How I say...
L-A-T-I-N, at sign.
Latinao.
Latinat.
The word people started using is Latinette. There's an at sign at the end of that, and it kind of looks like an A inside of an O.
The first time I saw these words was with the arroba, Latinao, and that was in an online gay and lesbian LGBT community called Arenal, and that was in the 90s.
That's Juana Maria Rodriguez. She's a professor of gender and women's studies at UC Berkeley. She says back then, these new words sparked a lot of debate.
How do we pronounce this? What does it mean? Some people really, the arguments about contaminating language. Other people said, just use the feminine all the time after, you know, thousands of years of using the masculine as the universal.
Most people use the masculine form to be gender neutral without even thinking about it. And the Royal Academy of Spanish in Madrid, the biggest authority on Spanish language, agrees. But some people are pushing back. Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, the former president of Argentina, used to make a point in her speeches to include both genders.
Muchas gracias a todos y a todas.
Todos y todas is the male and female version of saying everybody. It's like saying it twice. The Royal Academy says that's redundant, and todos suffices, even when there's men and women in the group you're addressing. They advise just to use the male version.
Todos or todas, you know, they're just words. But words are important because how we communicate shapes our lives. When we're not all on the same page, it can cause confusion, or worse, a lot of pain. On today's show, stories about miscommunication, from the harmless and the humorous to the very serious, and not just misunderstandings between different languages, in this case, a disagreement within Spanish itself. Some people think that a gendered language is cool, but others find it exclusive and even discriminatory. So to start, we ask this question. Should or even can Spanish become ungendered?
You know, gendered language can have an actual effect on people's daily lives, even in English. In Maryland, a statute about practicing law and being admitted to the bar used the word he throughout the document. And in 1886, the state Supreme Court decided that that word excluded women, making women not allowed to become lawyers. In legal writing, the singular pronoun was he, and it was supposed to be gender neutral, even though it might not have always been interpreted that way. So there was a push to start using other gender neutral pronouns like one or they, or a failed attempt, his/her, which is a combination of both his and her.
Some people wonder why we have to categorize people by gender at all. Here's UC Berkeley professor Juana Maria Rodriguez once again.
I'm a mom, and I've been in my kids' classroom, and they're like, okay, so boys line up over here and girls line up over there. And like, really? You know, maybe we could do this by size, height. Maybe who's wearing blue today? Line up over here. So there are other ways that we can think of categorizing people other than through gender. And I think those kinds of moves are really important because I do think that they impact how we think, how we perceive ourselves and our role in the world.
That's important because some studies actually link gendered language to gendered thoughts. If a children's storybook uses the word policeman instead of police officer,
a policeman got out. Can anyone tell us?
A child is going to picture a man. But what's more, studies have found that gendered language reinforces gender stereotypes in play and in life.
Now, if gendered language can be problematic, and that's why some people are trying to change it, the question is it even possible for a gendered language to lose its gender?
You know, it can. It has, and we're actually speaking it right now. I didn't know, but English used to be gendered. It had three genders.
What? Three?
Exactly. Old English, which was spoken between the 5th century up until about the 13th century, had masculine, feminine, and neuter nouns, neuter being gender neutral. Here's someone reading a clip from Beowulf.
Dana, after Berthea, ye boon hafton.
So that's Beowulf, the world's oldest surviving poem written in Old English. It's set in Scandinavia, full of battles with dragons and monsters.
So obviously language does change, but how did English actually lose its gender?
It's hard to pinpoint exactly how and when it changed, but English morphed a lot with the movement of people from what is now Germany to what is now England. And it came into contact with Old Norse, ancient French, and a lot of Germanic languages. Linguists say the biggest turning point happened about 1,000 years ago with the Norman conquest, when a large battalion of French soldiers crossed the channel, killed the King of England, and took over. There were so many new languages mixing in, French, German, Old Norse, and with all the different gendered endings, it became confusing. So a lot of words were shortened, and their endings just fell off to become gender neutral. So Maria, you asked if it would be possible for Spanish language to lose its gender. In Spain, about 8,000 people have signed a petition to incorporate gender-neutral terms.
There's sort of a movement by universities and unions and local governments to try to move away from more gendered language. So, for example, instead of saying los profesores, el profesorado.
So what some people want online is to drop the A or the O at the end of words altogether and put an X there.
For a while, part of what we were seeing, and we still see, is in a term like Latino to have a slash. So it'll say Latino slash A. That sort of still reinscribes the gender binary. In some ways, Latinx can be read as sort of a refusal of not just the gender binary, but of gender.
Oh. So no amigos, it would be amigex.
Mm-hmm.
No Latinos, it would be Latinx.
Mm-hmm. Chicano, Chicanx.
Okay.
It can get a little complicated and confusing. But even though some people like Juana are advocating for a gender-neutral term, she doesn't necessarily want to see gender erased from the language altogether.
You know, for a transgender Latina woman, she worked really hard to be called Latina. And if that is the pronoun that she wants to use, then I'm all about affirming her decision, right?
Besides that, Juana says there's something else that would be lost if language were completely gender neutral. An element of playfulness.
We live it and we love it and we play with it, right? So I think one of the things that language allows us to do is also code switch gender. So if I see, you know, one of my gay male friends looking particularly fierce, I can say, oye, estás guapísima.
Which roughly translates into, hey girl, you're looking great.
This might not be a person that wants to be have me use female pronouns all the time, but in this particular moment, it might be exactly the right thing to say.
and which is actually one of the things that I love playing with in terms of Spanish being gendered, switching around the female-male about it. And the truth is that, you know, some people find the word Latinx really empowering.
Some people, like Hector Luis Alamo, aren't so thrilled.
I have no clue how to pronounce it.
Hector is a deputy editor at Latino Rebels, a Latino culture and news website. He wrote a piece called The Case Against Latinx.
I get the intention. I get the goal of using Latinx, but I don't agree with the premise of their argument, which is that the word Latino is too exclusive or not inclusive enough. Nowadays, people use Latino in a very broad sense. That means men, women, LGBT, straight, you know, every kind of Latino you can think of. And I know that Latino USA uses the word Latino in that way. And I don't agree with the premise of that whole push to use a new word because Latino is too exclusive.
Hector has a point. Our show is called Latino USA, but by no means do we mean to limit our listenership or our stories to just be about male Latinos, right?
Absolutely. You know, there really does appear to be a movement online, though, toward gender-neutral pronouns these days. Language is alive and always in flux. Even Latinx detractors like Hector see the value in that.
If that's where Spanish goes, I mean, English has changed a lot from Beowulf, who might argue that it shouldn't evolve, that a language shouldn't evolve.
Just think about how angry people feel for new words like selfie, LOL, OMG. But those are all in the dictionary now. It's not just here. There's actually an international movement going on. Even in Sweden, they're trying to move toward gender-neutral classrooms. So, Maria, any chance we'll be seeing a Latinx USA in the future?
Possibly, if I could actually pronounce it and it would roll off my tongue, which it doesn't necessarily, but we can try. I'm all for change. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Maria.